Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
On the hockey side of things, a little battle, rivalry here in New York tri-state area. The Rangers and the Devils, first game of their playoff series. And then the Knicks continue their series in Cleveland. Game two against the Cavaliers. We have full coverage for you here on 98.7 ESPN beginning at 7. And also on MSG Networks, we got our full coverage starting at 7. And then we have the game. We've got Mike Breen. We got Walt Clyde Frazier. Rebecca Harlow as well on the call. It's our call. We're on it. And then a full hour-long post-game show with myself, Bill Pito, and Wally Zerbiak is going to join us here momentarily. Hey, New Yorkers, check out FanDuel's Super Boost for tonight's playoff action. Julius Randle to score 20-plus points and the Rangers to beat the Devils. Would you take that part? Only in New York, only today at FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Would you go with that, a little playoff action? Julius Randle over 20, maybe he had 19 in game one.
Yeah.
And the Rangers to get the win over the Devils. Would you play that?
I'm going to stop you at the over the Devils. I'm in Jersey, baby.
Yeah, you're just not.
Let's go Devils. The Devils.
Heels. All right, well, it is hour number three.
Cackle,
it is
cackle.
Bart and Han. And Bart, when it's hour number three and it's Bart and Han, what does that mean?
It's the power hour.
Is that six or seven?
I don't know. We're staying with six.
Ow.
Let's bring more power to the show. And my colleague, my friend Wally Zerbiak, who joins us right now, he and I, Bill Pito, have your pre- and post-game coverage on MSG Network, 7 o'clock tonight, full hour post as well. Late nights these days, Wally Ball, but we love this time of year, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, these playoffs are off to an outstanding start. Electrifying games. Knicks played great in game one. Can't wait for game two. This is what NBA playoffs is all about. And how about the Devils pick by Bart over there?
Yep.
Very intriguing. You know, we're Islander guys, so yes, they got to get back in the series after last night.
Mm-hmm. I'm loyal to the soil. You know what I'm saying? I'm over here in dirty Jersey, baby. They take care of me over here. I got to show some respect to the Prudential Center. You know what I'm saying? But you talk about the playoffs, and they're off to an amazing start. I think the NBA, it doesn't seem like it's a couple of lopsided series that we expected, but for the most part, everything looks like competitive. It can go either way. You look at the Knicks and what they've been able to do and the fact that they're so deep, but then you look at also their path maybe clearing, because sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And with Giannis back being uncertain, maybe things could be going the Knicks' way. Now, I know it's early, but, you know, as a former player, do you pay attention to this type of thing? Like, hey, maybe the stars are aligning. We can be better than what people think we can be, because we watched Dallas go to the finals a couple years ago, and that was out of nowhere too.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I don't think, honestly, with how kind of tunnel vision Tom Thibodeau keeps his team, that he's really worried about the next series. I think he's locked in on one day at a time, one play at a time, one game at a time. I know that sounds cliche, but that's kind of how he's handled business all season long. And, you know, as fans and analysts, we can kind of, you know, navigate the scene and see what's going on. You got to remember Tyler Hero went out for Miami also in that game, and it looks like he's got a broken hand. So he's going to be out, and they're really going to miss him. And we'll see what the status is on Giannis if he can get back. So I think that series is still going to, you know, head Milwaukee's way. But there's just a ton of good stuff going on in these playoffs. Suns going down in game one. Alan Hahn knows who I picked out west to come out of the west, and those guys are looking pretty dominant, the Denver Nuggets.
Okay, I'm about to say, remind me. You say the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, he's going Denver. He's all in on the Denver Nuggets.
Listen, if he don't, I'm done with Jokic. It's like one of those things. We expect so much, and, like, he finally gets Jamal Murray back, and, like, we understood, okay, he was carrying the team, and he was the MVP. But if you can't do it now, in this landscape being wide open before the superpowers kind of recoup, Jokic, but, you know, miss me at the finals or the championship. Other than that, I'm not believing in you no more.
I hear you. He's got to play well in this playoffs, and he's got to make it happen. All the regular season accolades are great, but this year is his year to make it to the finals at least. And I think that team can win the championship. I know there's a lot of talent out west, but at the same time, you know, the Phoenix Suns have only played 9 games together, you know, as a complete team. And that's not easy to, you know, go through an NBA playoffs, especially as wild as the West are, and beat a team like Denver. So no question, Jokic has to step up, and that Denver team has to step up. And I think they know that.
The voice you hear, Wally Szczerbiak, you'll hear him tonight with me and Bill Pito on MSG Networks. The pregame starts at 7 o'clock for Game 2 of the Knicks and Cavaliers. We have the full coverage for you. We have the entire game broadcast, the Hall of Famers, Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier. We also have Rebecca Harlow in Cleveland as well, working the sidelines, wall-to-wall coverage, our postgame as well. You keep it right here on MSG Networks. Now, Wally, the 2 days off, I love when there's a couple of days off between games. You know me as the reporter. Like, I want all the drama. I want the stories. I want all this stuff building up into the game. And the stuff that we've heard out of Cleveland's side has been very interesting. Take a listen to Isaac Okoro, who is his job has been to guard Jalen Brunson. That's supposed to be his role in this series. And hear him talking about Brunson and what he wants to see from the officials, what he wants to talk about with the officials. And once he's done, I want to get your take on what he had to say.
Nodding your head back, falling on the ground with not a lot of physicalities used on you. Just little things to help you get fouls and things get to the free throw line.
So do you think he gets away with stuff?
Today's game, a lot of players do that to get to the free throw line. So as a defender, we just have to adjust to that and be smarter.
He talked about making sure that the officials were aware of the little things, the antics he used that Brunson employs when he plays. What do you think of that?
That's very interesting. I mean, Jalen Brunson is about as pure as a point guard out there, and he just plays the game the right way. You know, he's not flopping all over the place. He gets to his spots and makes tough shots over bigger defenders. And, you know, he made big shots in that second half to seal away the game for the New York Knicks. I just think that's really grabbing at straws a little bit. Isaac Okoro obviously is known for his defense. So he's trying to figure out a way to make an impact on this series defensively, because that's his job. But I don't think that goes a very long way. I think that kind of shows that the Cavs are reaching a little bit, and they kind of feel like they can't stop Jalen Brunson with the way he plays his game. That's kind of the first time I've heard this come up. I don't think it's going to affect Jalen at all, because he just plays basketball the right way. And I think this is something that the Cavs are reaching a little bit with.
Josh Hart. It's a big, big storyline for game two. He's a tough guy.
Listed right now, he went from doubtful to questionable today.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. And you know how sometimes tough guys want to stay on brand, and, you know, they may play through some things they shouldn't play through. I thought maybe that Julius Randle, because he hadn't practiced with contact, shouldn't have played in game one. I was proven wrong. He said the ankle was not a problem. It's just his conditioning. But do you think that – because they stole game one, it's better to be cautious with Josh Hart and try and see if you can get it done without him, because you know how pivotal you're going to need him for game three once you get back home in the Garden?
That's very smart thinking. It really is. I just think you have to listen to Josh Hart. If I put myself in that position, you know, he's a veteran in the league. This is important for him to play in the playoffs. He's going to tell the team exactly what he's capable of, I think, bringing to the team. You just have to trust your players. And, you know, that's a guy I trust, along with Jalen Brunson and a lot of guys on this team. They know where their body is. They have a great training staff and a great coaching staff that's going to, you know, advise them in the proper direction as far as what they think they should, he should do. But I'm with you. Like, if he can't go, you know, maybe he plays 5-10 minutes. It's not good. You have a deep bench. You have other guys that can maybe step in and play his role. Obviously, he was outstanding in game one. And maybe you just shut him down and get him some rest for the next game at home, because you have two more days off between games two and three, because this series is spaced out, and then you get him right. So you just got to trust in Josh Hart. I think he has a good vibe and pulse for what's going on with his body.
Yeah, and somebody obviously is just so important to you that you need him right, but he's the type of guy that'll play through anything. I mean, the fact that he made that big shot on one leg says a lot about what he's made of. Now, Wally, I know you've been paying attention to the playoffs, so I want to get your thoughts on what happened last night in the Warriors-Kings game with Sabonis and Draymond Green and that altercation. And what did you see happen there? Is there any one guy at fault? And what do you think the fallout will be from this?
Well, I think the officials got it exactly right. There's no secret that Draymond's antics drive me crazy. As a former player that tried to play the game the right way and didn't get caught up in stuff like that, and, you know, tried to be a sportsman and a pro. But at the same time, what Sabonis did, he instigated that altercation. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was the one at fault that started it. Now, the way Draymond Green reacted, and especially his track record and his history, not warranted at all, and he got the necessary punishment. But at the same time, going through the rest of this series, Sabonis loses that little innocent card, in my mind. I mean, he started that altercation 100%. Obviously, the second guy, Bart, you know all about it, the second guy that gets into it, he's the guy that gets tossed, and it happened to be Draymond Green. And you know you can incite him like that. But you have to keep a close eye if you're officiating on Sabonis, because he was absolutely the instigator in that case. It really favored the the Kings winning that basketball game without Draymond out there. And this series is not over, boys. I'm telling you. Golden State's coming back, and they're going to win this series.
Right, a series doesn't start until you win in somebody else's house. At least that's what I was always taught. You're supposed to hold home court. I just wonder if Mike Brown has the Da Vinci Code and all the secrets. But we expect Steph to shoot a lot better. We expect Steph to shoot a lot better at home and Poole to shoot a lot better. You think that maybe because Poole is such a liability on defense that maybe, you know, they should go a little bit more Gary Payton so that they have somebody that's out there that can play defense? Because both teams can score, but, you know, it's really the calling card and the difference between this Golden State team and the rest is that they can't defend.
That's surprising to me. I completely agree because, you know, the last few years, you know, when they were making their runs, you know, and whatever it was, 2014 to 2018, they were the best defensive team in the league with the same personnel. So the fact that they have completely flipped the script is very strange to me. But I think they're going to be much better at home. I think you need to find minutes for Jordan Poole because he's, you know, capable of dropping 40 on a given night, and he plays very well at home. His home court numbers are outstanding. So I love what you said, Bart. Series doesn't start until someone wins on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, Sacramento had two really tough games that they completely eked out, and they got a big-time call the last 7 minutes with Draymond Green not being out there on the floor. So they did their job. They didn't do it convincingly, in my mind. Now it's up to Golden State to hold serve at home and win those games at home.
All right, Wally, so what do the Knicks have to do tonight to go home for what would be a wild Game 3 Friday night at the Garden to be up 2-0? What do they need to do tonight to get there?
Listen, it's going to be tough. This Cleveland Cavalier team is going to come out with their absolute best effort. This is a young team. They looked a little inexperienced in that first game. They're going to get back to the drawing board, and they're going to come out like a house of fire. I really believe that. Then what the Knicks have to do is they just have to continue to kind of pound nails. I think that's what this team has done all season long. You know, just to continue to be in the right spot defensively, continue to hit those offensive boards. You dominated the glass with 17 offensive boards. Didn't shoot the ball well, so there were a lot of offensive boards to be had. And you went out and you outworked them and you got those 50-50 balls. Do those little things like that. You have the depth advantage over that team. You're too deep at every position, this Knicks roster. It's outstanding how this team comes at you in waves. And just try to put the pressure on Cleveland in that fourth quarter. That's the key. If you can keep this game close, the pressure shifts to Cleveland, and you have an opportunity to get two huge wins on the road in the NBA playoffs.
I love it. Chop wood, carry water, right? That's got to be the mentality in a game like this on the road. And then, boy, you can really set yourself up. But I love it, too. It's the mentality you have to have. Now, we as fans and as observers, we can always look ahead. But the right thing to do right now is first quarter, second quarter, halftime, third quarter. Right? It's got to be where your feet are. Because for the Knicks, if you look too far ahead, you'll forget where you are. And next thing you know, you'll be heading back tied at one. Wally, I'll see you tonight. What are we doing tonight? We're going power tie? Are we going? What you have anything in mind yet? Because the tie game is a big deal for us.
I want to see a bolo.
I'm going three-piece suit. I'm going orange and blue tonight. It's time to break out the orange and blue. Let's go.
All right. So he's going power suit, Bart. Power suit tonight. Orange and blue, three-piece.
Strong, you know what I mean?
I like it.
Most CEOs are over 6'2". You guys, you'll present well and all that good stuff. Hey, also, who do you have for MVP? We know you love Jokic or you love Denver, but who do you love as the MVP of the NBA?
I'm going with Jokic. I mean, Embiid made a huge push down the stretch at the end of the series, and he's looked very dominant in the playoffs. Jokic's numbers are just ridiculous. And Han's more of the numbers guy, but I'm an efficiency guy, and his player efficiency rating has just been outstanding. So I'm going with Jokic.
What's his defensive rating? Just playing.
Nice. All right, Wally Ball, thanks for the time. We'll see you tonight, my man.
You got it. I can't wait.
All right, Wally Szczerbiak. Again, it's me, it's Wally, it's Bill Pito. In the studio tonight on MSG Networks, we have the pregame at 7 o'clock. We get you ready for game two. Mike and Clyde with Rebecca Harlow. We have the call, the full broadcast of the game, and then an hour-long postgame. We have you in the studio as well. So you keep it right on MSG Networks, nowhere else to go, no reason to change the channel. 800-919-3776 is the number. And, Bart, the thing about Josh Hart that you brought up, and even Wally kind of agreed with you on it, so he was listed as doubtful yesterday, which sent alarm bells off, right? Mm-hmm. Because Tibbs said yesterday after practice that we'll see how he feels tomorrow, meaning today. So how do you read it then? And we know there's always the game being played here. It'll be a game-time decision, I'm sure. But how do you read it that he was listed as doubtful? The coach said we'll see how he feels tomorrow. Yeah. And then the next day he's upgraded from doubtful to questionable. Does that give you optimism that he's feeling better?
Yeah, it's going to be about warm-ups, the pregame workout, see how he feels, see when he goes back and it settles back down. Because it also simulates like maybe halftime. You go do workout, you get it warmed up, and then stopping and starting. Does it stiffen up? Does it hurt? You know, but he's going to want to lean to play. Like,
guy's a dog,
ball,
man.
Ball is ball, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I feel like if he feels like he can play, you let him dress and just know that you may have a deep rotation and have a plan for if he gets hurt or injured. Because we've seen Brunson come back and play through something and get hurt, don't look right. Right? You know, these guys are just guys that love – these aren't load management guys. And the fact that Josh Hart is playing in his first playoffs ever and he played so well the first game, I just don't want his pride to get ahead of his head. You know what I mean? But usually that's what happens is our heart getting in the way. When we're players, we believe, like, we'll figure it out. You know, we've had hurt ankles before. Not his first time playing with a hurt ankle, but sometimes you have to realize that you have to trust your teammates and understand that, you know, you could be limiting somebody else from getting their opportunity to have a big game. And that takes a lot of humility to be able to do that, to say, you know what, I could go, but me going at 80% isn't better than, say, you know, Obi going in there or Grimes getting more minutes or, you know, one of the backups being able to play. Let them have their shiny moment. I'll come back and be able to get mine later.
You know what would be interesting, too? He plays – he gave you 17 and 10 in game one. His presence alone, like – but for him, it's the motor. It's his ability to get to the – you know, to loose balls and everything like that. And if you're compromised at all, it does take away from the impact he can have. Now, Toppin played really well in the minutes that he was helping out, like getting Julius Randle, you know, a breather here and there. The question is, what are you going to get out of R.J. Barrett in game two? Mm. What are you going to get out of him? Because, you know, Hart comes in when Barrett goes out, and the game does change. But if, let's say, Hart can't play a 30-minute night, or like you said, he plays like 5 minutes, you can see he doesn't feel right, and then he doesn't play the rest of the game. R.J. Barrett, we keep banging this drum.
It's going to illuminate.
It has to eventually arise that he's got to step up. He's got to perform. And this is another game where he's going to be under the microscope with everybody watching saying, are you going to be part of winning? Especially if Josh Hart cannot play the minutes that he normally has played. So let's get some calls from you at 800-919-3776. And just I asked Wally this. I'll talk to Bart about it as well. But I want to hear it from you. I love hearing from the fans on this stuff. And that is very simply this. What will it take tonight? What do you need to see tonight for the Knicks to head home with a 2-0 lead in this series?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, I love House Party. When he said,
I love Lamp.
When Bilal said, listen, man, when you see me in the streets, no, that was play. When you see me in the streets, just step. Just steps, man.
All right, before we get to the calls, 800-919-3776, I'm going to ask you, Bart, the question we're asking all the callers, and that is off of last night. We asked Wally this as well. So tonight, game two, Knicks and the Cavs.
Bing bong.
What, like tomorrow when we're doing our show, what will have happened in your mind? What do you need to see or expect to see that will be the reason why they can win this game and go up 2-0?
RJ Barrett shows up. Get you like 24-10. He's hitting his three ball, which is opening up the court for everybody to thrive. He's got to show up and he's got to be efficient, and he's gonna have to get to some loose balls. I'm gonna need 24.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna need 9 and 7.
Interesting.
I'm gonna need RJ Barrett to step up.
Seven assists.
I don't think Hart is gonna be efficient.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm with you on one game in this series. You're going to need RJ Barrett. Which one is it going to be, and is it going to be tonight? All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go through the callers now. We'll start with Brandon in Mineola. What's up, Brandon? What do you got?
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you guys are doing well.
All good.
One thing I think they did really well in game one that is kind of important moving forward is they started out really hot. They jumped out to their 9-2 lead. Cleveland made a little, like, mini run, but they kind of contained it. And that happened a few more times throughout the game. Cleveland go on a little run, close the gap. Knicks would kind of stop it, go back up by 8 or 10. I think it happened before halftime. Cleveland closed it a bit. Knicks started out pretty good in the second half. And then especially towards the end, they were up 10. And then, you know, Cleveland came back and made it close before Hart hit the shot. So I think on the road, kind of preventing Cleveland from going on a really big run and then taking the lead and making it, you know, sort of mini runs that you sort of stop and then retake the momentum again is a pretty big thing that they did in game one that I'm hoping they do tonight.
Okay. Well, so just keep the runs at a minimum. That's a good one. Mike in West Caldwell, what do you think, Mike?
In my opinion, tonight – it's got to be Grimes and Quickly got to have games. They got to shake off them nerves. You can't make Brunson have to shoulder this on a row, two in a row. So you got to have a pressure release there. And whether even if it's Grimes not scoring, if he's got to tire out Spider a little bit and make him work hard, but Quickly and him got to show up tonight. And because RJ, I love him, God love him, but I think we're – going to the wishing well with him the rest of this year for some reason. I just don't feel good about him. But those two guys, to me, they got to do something.
Allen said
really
it was his finger.
Now you got some nerves.
No, Allen says his finger. Allen says he did
hurt it early in the season. We did overlook.
I was the one who called yesterday about that. But I love him. But it's just not every night I think he's going to do something. And, man, he starts shooting the ball, and it just looks ugly as hell.
It does look bad. No, you're right. And we overlook Quickly. Quickly went 0 for 5 in game one. You know, that's the thing. One of the topics coming out of Cleveland I noticed was they were trying to promote the idea that, boy, you know, that was the best the Knicks could play. Like, not even close. Like, they didn't play well. Quickly didn't play well. Grimes only made one shot, and then he made the big free throws. His defense on Mitchell was very good, and they might need him even more because if Hart can't go, that's one less guy that you can put against him. But, you know, we are overlooking the fact. And I don't, you know, you mentioned it, Bart. You liked the game out of Mitchell Robinson. I didn't think he played great. I think he could play way better than he played. So there's a lot of improvement that you could see across the board. Carlos in Bayside. Carlos, what do you need to see?
How's it going? Yeah. Thank you for having me. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I feel like we should let the dogs out of the bench. You know, like we got Grimes, we got a bunch of defense on the bench. We got depth on the bench. We choose the bench. The bench should really play a little more. You should let the dogs loose. And I feel like Mitch Robinson can step up with a lot more blocks, a lot more defense. Mm-hmm. And RJ, just give him a chance. I think he's gonna have a good game today. You know.
I hope he'll be just fine. Yeah, we need that, Carlos. All right, thank you. We need to see that out of RJ because there's going to be a lot of assessment of his game at the end of this series, especially if he doesn't play well. Jay in the Bronx. Jay, what do you need to see?
The math adds up pretty simple for me. Mitchell and Garland are the only guys who can score. Keep them under 60. It seems like a lot, but you can't have the scrubs light you up like Terrence Ross used to do with the Magic. No Jetty Osmond, 20 points. Yeah. No Okoro, 12 points.
Right.
Yeah, that's our curse. The scrubs light us up. Like Ross and these guys just light us up, and that's when we lose. So we need to avoid that.
Right. Shut everybody else down. That's a good one, Jay. I like that. Because you know the subs, after getting embarrassed in game one, that was a big story too. It's something that Bickerstaff brought up, the coach of the Cavs. He said, our bench has got to be better. So, you know, those guys are going to take it upon themselves to try to do more in this game. You do not want to let any of them get off. Brian's in Tampa. Brian, what do you need to see?
I think we need to see the complete opposite of what we saw back in 94 Game 7. We need to see this team play smart basketball and play dogs on defense. If you're not hitting the three, then Larry's got to step in, take two more steps in, and become Jimmy Butler inside the three-point line. Play bully ball all around and just play smart basketball.
Sounds good, Brian. I mean, it's easier said than done. See, bully ball and smart basketball don't normally go hand in hand, Bart.
Especially when they complain and they might start calling. You know, you don't want people getting, you know, I mean, I think one of the underreported, big impacts of game one was Brunson being in foul trouble. Right, and if they're sitting up there complaining about the physicality.
Played 9 minutes in the first half.
Yeah, you're going to have guys flopping and trying to sell calls early. And it's going to be important to see if the refs are buying it or if they're mm-hmm. calling it like that, because who knows? You know, sometimes you get these, you know, these emails or officials to say, hey, man, we don't like all the physicality, the stepping on people, like the, you know, the dust-ups. Let's get control of these games early. If they decide that they want to control this game early and get away from, like, the – because, you know, the longer the series goes, the more tired of each other that these teams get.
Right.
And it's starting to get agitation already, starting to get there. Now, these guys aren't naturally – because it's hard to hate Jared Allen. He's a nice guy. Mobley seems like a nice guy. You know, Garland, you know, it's like – but it happens. And you see it in Sacramento. You see it. You'll probably see it when Memphis plays the Lakers, because they feel like they got to get some get back. Stuff going to start getting chippy, man, and people going to start coming out of character, and maybe the refs are under instruction that when they see that happening, to try and get control of the game by putting out tees and calling early fouls.
Yeah, again, you watch how the Cavs come out, and if they come out, that's how they hit first, right? It was that's something that Garland kept talking about, punch first and all that stuff is – watch what they do at the very beginning. If you're the Knicks, you almost have to, like, all right, let's see. Let them punch and see if the refs are going to call it. Like, just know I might have to get hit a few times here. And if I do and they get into foul trouble, that's on our side. But if they're getting away with it, then we know, all right, let's play this game, because I think they're more equipped to play it. Jacob in Manhattan. Jacob, what do you need to see?
Gentlemen, Han, Bart, love y'all. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
All I want to see, to be totally honest with you guys, is I want to see Barrett play his game. Guys, he is Grant Hill, his first 4 years in the league. If you remember, Grant Hill couldn't hit a jump shot, but he could break everyone down on the dribble. He could play defense, and he could get rebounds. That's all we need Barrett to do. Barrett is not a three-point shooter. We got to get off of that high horse, bro. He's not a three-point shooter. Let him take the guy to the basket, get his and-ones, get his free throws on. He's going to give us 25, bro. Automatic. Trust me. Thibodeau, got to hit him on the basket. He got to play ball. He got to stop shooting threes. Trust me. He got to stop shooting threes, man. Knicks fan my whole life. That's going to work. Trust me.
I trust you, Jacob. I trust everything you just said there. Trust him. I'll tell you what, though. I think Parrott has to do exactly what Jacob said, though. Because we've seen him when he's determined about getting to the basket, he's hard to stop. Now, teams know, and they want to pack it in against him. They do have length, and they have guys that can block shots. But that's a determination that he's got to play with tonight instead of just settling for catch-and-shoot threes. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, when are we going to get his game? In this series, he's going to have one. He's going to have one.
Especially if your finger hurts, right? You talking about your finger hurt, man. Well, I don't layup hurts, or a little push-out. But I'm just saying, if that's been like the alteration – man, get to the basket, man. That's like when your outside shot is struggling, that's what you do. You get to the basket, get guys in foul trouble, then you can really, you know, see a couple balls go through in the free throw line. You start, you know, things start changing.
All right, let's talk to Brent in Brooklyn. And what does he need to see? Brent, what do you need to see tonight?
Good afternoon, guys. Wonderful show. I need to see more composure from Randle, especially what happened with Draymond Green last night. I need Randle to keep his cool, stay out of the ref errors, and watch those elbows he's been throwing. The games is going to be called tighter as the games go along. And keep up the good work with Brunson. Always get that switch with Donovan Mitchell, and he'll beat him all day long.
You get Randle off to – Randle always gets you off to the good start first quarter, and then Brunson takes care of business late. And I'm with Brent. Thanks for the call, Brent. I think if this game is going to be about some physicality and nastiness, that's what you don't – we've seen Randle kind of lose it a little bit in those types of games. When teams get physical with him, he gets frustrated, and that's something to watch also if, again, they're not calling it tight. We'll continue with your calls at 800-919-3776. We've got a busy night tonight, if you think about it. We're talking Knicks-Cavs, Rangers-Devils, and oh, by the way, Bart, you know who's in town, don't you?
Who that is?
That'd be the Angels. Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge,
future
two of the
Met.
Biggest stars
future
in
Met.
Baseball. You think so? Because I have a feeling Yankees fans tonight will try to serenade Shohei Ohtani tonight at the stadium.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go, Devils.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. It's going to be an exciting game. Think about it. That series should be a lot of fun. So you have that tonight. Then you have in the Bronx, and it's going to be a little chilly tonight, a little windy, a little chilly, a little Clark Schmidt for you.
The newest Mets.
Against Shohei Ohtani and company. Shohei's not pitching, but, you know, I mean, he's in the lineup.
Come City Field.
Well, he's at the big ballpark, the Boogie Down.
All right? You mean the little park?
No.
With the great location.
The big park. You know, the one with all the monuments and stuff, like all the greats from the history. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Those should be in the old place.
That's what you do.
Because they ain't made none in the new place.
If you're Aaron Judge, like you see Shohei beforehand, you go, hey, let's come out to Monument Park, see where we're going to put your plaque.
Yeah, Pete Alonso is going to say, you know what? Yeah, all these numbers got retired.
You can't talk that talk.
Hold on,
come up with something else. Hey, we have a really good Mr. Softy vendor here.
No, we got Seaver. This were the greatest
hey,
pitcher.
You
want to
hit a wiffle ball out of our little wiffle ball park? Come out here. You want to walk the Shea Bridge?
This is where Seaver, the greatest pitcher of all time, came.
Oh, out in the parking lot? Is that what you want to do?
Hold on, how many championships have
you statue?
Listen,
took 40 years for us to actually get this thing made.
How many Yankee championships do they have in the new stadium?
One.
Okay.
How many does the Mets have in their stadium?
It don't matter. We went.
I didn't ask you. Why would it matter if you asked me? But it doesn't matter for you.
No, I'm just saying. You talking about all those monuments? Those from another building. Ain't no magic in this building, baby. Come over here and create some magic over here with these boys.
Yeah. We'll see. tug of war with him is going to be a lot of fun until he decides he's going to go to the Dodgers, which we all know is probably going to happen. He's going to stay on the West Coast. He's going to end up there. Who's the bigger star right now in the sport, though, Bart? Is it Ohtani?
Ohtani.
Is it Aaron Judge?
Ohtani, because he's global. He's global. He got a whole continent with him.
I get the global thing, but once again, the sport is being played in North America. So who do you think, though, is the more box office?
Honestly, I think that Ohtani is a better personality. Like, Judge is kind of understated, quiet. I think Ohtani has way more swag, and I think he wants to be a vocal leader in the face of baseball, where Judge doesn't mind, but I think Ohtani just got that swag, and we saw it when we saw that speech in the World Baseball Classic. That, listen, he got a lot to say.
Yep.
We need to give him leader. A platform so he can say it.
Yeah, he showed really good leadership skills in that moment, especially for a young guy too, but he just knows who he is. I will agree with you. And again, Judge is in New York. I think that has certainly elevated him, but he's a bigger-than-life figure, literally and figuratively. I mean, he really is. I mean, the size of him, the Bunyan-esque kind of like build that he has, his ability to hit home runs, he's in New York, very likable, easy to market. Like, there's so much about him, the big smile. So he's got all that going. But you're right. Ohtani's got a little sizzle. There's a little sizzle about him.
It's a little itch to
Even him, last man. Night, like he struggled. So he put a jacket on. It was cold, obviously, in Boston. It was raining. And he put on – it was not last night. It was yesterday. Puts on a jacket when he's on base, and he can't zipper the zipper.
Yeah.
Like, it was hysterical. We can all relate to that. We're like, zipper. Like, you just couldn't – he could not get it to zip.
He gives me Joe Burrow vibes. If he came to New York,
swag.
Yeah, rather it's Yankees. Right. I could see him like at the Met Gala looking amazing with some type of actress or something like that. He give me those type of vibes, man. Okay. It is a superstar, global icon in that body, and he needs to come over here to the East Coast and leave the left coast and come over here and where we can give him all that swag, all that attention. He needs to be on talk shows. Keep working on that English. We need to see him at the Met Gala, sitting at the table with Jay-Z, Beyonce, Riri.
Courtside.
All those people. Courtside next to the garden.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Life Netflix, life story of Ohtani coming, produced by Spike Lizzle. You know what I'm saying? All that.
And he needs to have like a weekly on Bart and Han. Like, he really wants to get
all
that kind of swag.
All that. Like, all the smoke. So he can come out here, like Pete Alonso said, like, listen, I'm available every day. So
Let
he
me
can
ask
say,
you a question.
So he can say, Garrett Cope, I got John Blaze stuff too, B.
John Blaze, I need you to answer this with as much honesty as possible and not try to be funny. Don't give me your usual shtick. Let's just say, hypothetically, he decides that he wants to play for the Yankees, and the Yankees get him.
Yeah.
Because you love him so much, would you become a Yankees fan?
I would get a jersey.
Okay.
I'll say what's up. I wish him well. Listen, I don't wish any of the Yankees bad. I just wish the Mets better.
Well, you wish Yankee fans bad. That's your thing. You're more about
I just hate when people feel entitled. They think they deserve something. You know, Yankee fans are pretty close to Cowboys fans, where, you know, at this point, it's been a long time, bro. You can't keep walking around with that same swag from stuff that you weren't even born when it happened.
I need that drop. It's been a long time, bro. Yeah, it has. It takes me back to the Titanic, right, when she's an old woman. It's been 84.
Yeah.
Year,
you know what I'm saying?
Certainly feels like it.
And you still trying to live off that, bro? We did no. We're microwave society, man. Like, if it's the statute of limitations is 10 years, you can't keep boasting about something if it ain't happening within a decade.
That's why I'm on Cashman's case, man. And that's why you get on Cashman's case, because it's time. It's got to get done. All right. So tonight we have a lot going on. Are you going to be like just flipping around? Are you going to be on little Rangers Devils, mostly Knicks on MSG, of course, right? Full coverage, 7 o'clock?
Absolutely.
All right.
Listen to my peoples. I don't listen
to
now,
are you rooting for me tonight?
I'm always rooting for you.
Because
you know what I'm
think about it. Think about what – you and I are going to be together tomorrow. You're going to be here with me.
Yeah.
And if the Knicks win this game and are up 2-0,
first of all, you owe me tickets. You told me that I'm supposed to be able to come in because I went to the game and they won.
I'm going to get you there. Maybe game four. We'll work on it.
I don't care.
Case show next.
There.
See y'all tonight on MSG. See you tomorrow,
get
Bart.
Get there if you can.
New York, we here.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.